Welcome to the Relationship as Medicine podcast. I'm your host, Shelby Lee. Outdoor adventure enthusiast, dog mom to Luna, world traveler, longtime meditator, espresso lover, and a trained somatic psychotherapist, trauma specialist, and certified coach. Talking about trauma doesn't have to be so daunting. From a connected place, we can navigate anything together. Looking forward to exploring with you today. Here we go. Welcome, everyone. And Tay, I am really looking forward to diving in together about what's happening on the Soulful Retreat in terms of all that you're bringing and your facilitation. I'd love to introduce you all to Tay Prado. Tay has been a movement instructor for the past 7 years after finishing the, how do you say that, Reads Day?
Rise.
Rise Yoga Immersion Training in Vancouver. Since then, they have done extensive training in somatic movement alongside training and volunteering with Yoga Outreach to offer free trauma-informed movement practices to a diverse population, from rehab centers to seniors' homes. With a slow and steady rhythm in order to be inclusive of all bodies and abilities, Tay encourages folks to tap into their needs to experience the class however they wish. The main objective is to offer a safer space for people to connect with their bodies and explore what movement, breath, and mindfulness means to themselves. Welcome. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you, Shelby. That's very exciting to be here.
Yes. Would you like to share where you are in the world right now or where you're headed? Anything about you could even share how you enjoy having your name pronounced, because I don't roll my R's, but others will be able to. Anything at all.
Yeah, I can add to the intro. So my full name is Teresa Prado. Tay is a nickname that I've had since I was really young. And so when I moved to Canada a few years ago, many years ago, I decided to slowly come up with a way to introduce myself that was a little bit easier. And so Tay just kind of came naturally. And I appreciate both. So whichever people use, I'm happy with. I am calling in and participating from the unceded Coast Salish lands of the Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh, and Squamish nations in the so-called Vancouver. This is where it's been my home base for 15 years, but I am in a transition to go back to where I was born, which is in Brazil.
Well, Tay is joining us as the movement facilitator in the mornings on the retreat, combining, I'll have you say more about what it is, but trauma-informed yoga, mobility, somatic movement practice. Do you want to say more about what you're envisioning and what your intention is?
Yeah, I think from the intro that you gave, it maybe shows a little bit of my journey. And I have been an active person, let's say, and very much in wanting to be in touch with my body in a physical way, let's say. So I think yoga came a little bit later in life. And I did have some experiences in yoga studios that didn't sit like extremely well. You know, just kind of having to perform in a way or being like too quick of a pace, you know, and I feel like I'm an active person and I was struggling with it. And disconnecting from my breath when I was trying to catch up to everyone doing plank and all of that. So it took me some time to find the right approach and right practice of yoga that resonated with me. And that was with Lana Marie, who taught the Rise Yoga teacher training in Vancouver. And the way that she did it was a very inclusive way, let's say, of bringing in different modalities. So we had trainings with a somatic therapist and then a chiropractor and someone that did bring in a lot of the trauma-informed language. And so that kind of started to spark my interest in yoga being more than the physical asana aspect, and that it could be in a way combined with many other modalities. Even though it's a delicate place to be in, because obviously I want to honor what yoga is and what it has become in the world. So I try to do that in a very mindful way, and respectful way. But I do think that what I'll be offering will be a combination, so that maybe there'll be days that will be more activating, in a way that will be more like physical, changing from forms and shapes in a faster pace, let's say. But I think I will try to gauge where folks are at and how they're feeling. So maybe the first day we arrive there, probably everyone will be tired and settling in, right? So I envision that as a practice that will be more calming and grounding. And then maybe throughout the week, start to kind of pick up a bit of more activation. Yeah, and I think I like to bring a lot of playfulness to it. So some of the mobility and somatic practices that I've learned are a lot about exploring the like space around you and like rotating the body in a way that is not our usual day-to-day movement. So I think a lot of playfulness and touching in with what we will need each day.
Hey y'all, just pausing the podcast episode for a moment. I promise we'll be right back. But I wanted to take a second to let you know about Intelligent Change and their incredible tools that have personally helped me so much in my business and in my daily emotional life. I use their productivity planner all of the time to help get my brain focused. It can be all over the place, truly. As an entrepreneur and a business owner, there are a thousand things that need to be tended to all of the time. The productivity planner helps me really get focused on what I need to do right here and right now. It gives me so much space to actually just rest in my time where I'm not focused on work, which is invaluable to me. I can get quite anxious if I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing and when. As somebody with complex PTSD and a tendency towards depression and anxiety, their gratitude journal has helped me so much in those quiet moments before bed and waking up to focus my mind, heart, and body towards focusing on what's good, what's going well, and allowing me to have a little more space to just settle in to these beautiful, precious moments. I can't recommend these enough. I'll drop their link in the show notes.
So as I mentioned, having these experiences in yoga studios that weren't the greatest kind of led me to start looking outside of the box a little bit, and finding these spaces that were more trauma informed and kind of maybe made me connect to an experience that I had when I was a kid that I truly believe that it was through somatic therapy that maybe at the time I didn't even call it somatic therapy. I didn't know. I was 12 years old when something really intense happened in my childhood. And I remember being on the table with this practitioner and working with energy in the body. And I felt this energy being released from my body, and I felt lighter, and I felt like I could exist in the world again in a way that was connected to my body. And I think even though I didn't have exactly the words for it back then, this exploration later in life with specifically somatic therapy and somatic movement, I think started to bring that memory back. And I think it makes it that I really believe in it. I think it makes it authentic in some way, right? Because I had the experience, and I continue to have the experience. If I feel like my nervous system is off the roof and it's kind of, I need to regulate, I have a couple of things in the back pocket that I often will use. If I'm in a weird day in the office, I go into the bathroom and I will trace my arms back and forth, or I will shake, and so I think there's a deep personal connection to this work, to this experience.
Yeah, is that what inspires you to share it with others now?
Yeah, I think so. And volunteering with Yoga Outreach since, I don't know, I think 2018, it only validated that more, that it wasn't just my own experience. I started to see it in other folks, because I would come into spaces where I could tell that people were activated, and I could tell that they were either uncomfortable or disassociated, right? And that it would be a struggle in the beginning of the practice, but by the end of it, usually most people were at a different frequency. And so I think that kind of just kept encouraging me and motivating me to keep learning more and to keep offering it. Yeah.
When you talk about offering trauma-informed yoga or movement and inclusive yoga or movement, what do you mean by that?
Okay, so for me, that was also a groundbreaking experience, was learning about the aspects of the language in trauma-informed work. So specifically with Yoga Outreach was where I learned about the language of invitation and the language of inquiry. And so maybe I can go a little bit deeper into what they mean and examples maybe of how it works. But invitational, it simply is making everything a choice in that practice, so that the person can come in and know that if they would like to lie down and rest, it is their choice. And so not a lot, actually no commands. It's hard to break off that pattern, but the idea is to have no commands. So I'm actively trying to always say, if you feel like it, you could step your right foot forward. Or if it feels right for you, maybe you could bring your right arm up. So little cues that make it a choice to the for the person is how we offer this invitation. And then the inquiry comes from the idea that with curiosity, with this inquisitive perspective, you're allowing this person to have to maybe build a connection with their own body and sensations. And you do that by offering cues that could be, at this point, you could notice what it feels like to have the points of contact touching the ground. Or, you could sense what your clothes feel like on your skin and just try to bring these cues for physical sensations that I think are really helpful to bring connection to the body and to the space around you.
Beautiful. Yes. Choice, agency, helping people empower themselves. Yeah. That's my translation.
That's exactly it. And I think on top of that, I try to bring in inclusivity in other ways that are aware of different body sizes, different gender identities. So in my language, I use gender neutral ways of speaking. And when it comes to, I try to offer as many, not as many, but maybe like two or three options so that people can, again, feel the choice and agency to do what might fit better for their bodies.
Yeah, a lot of folks who come to my retreats or events or programs have complex trauma. And so it's very important to me to have a trauma-informed lens. And so many folks with complex trauma have all sorts of chronic pain, chronic illness. Showing up in the morning for a movement practice sounds hard, challenging, not enticing at all, especially when yoga has in the West been a performative practice that doesn't feel very inclusive or honoring of how people are actually feeling in their bodies. And I'm wondering if you could speak to that a little bit.
I think I will mention Yoga Reach again because it's been such, through them I've been to so many different spaces. And I remember really clearly, when I would go in to teach with seniors with dementia or kind of like in the spectrum of dementia. And actually, what they wanted the most was to dance. So for half an hour, we would dance and they would pick their songs and we'd put the video on the TV screen and they would try to imitate the moves. And then for the other half an hour, we would do chair yoga. And also with kids, I taught at a place that was for kids in the autism spectrum. And the dancing part was also the favorite part. And it was a way to connect with other people too, because I found that through being a little bit more outside of the mat, it brought connection to the person that was next to you, either by like looking or smiling, or maybe your hands would brush against each other or something like that. And I always thought that that was a moment that I had an aha moment to be like, okay, I think we have to think outside the box sometimes, especially with trauma, especially with chronic pain, because if you're stiff, if you're rigid to a discipline, it might just trigger something in people, right?
I love the idea that we don't have to just be solely focused on our square, our mat, that we can have connection in different ways, coming off the mat, being in a group practice. So often yoga can feel so solo. So I really love that vision that you're sharing.
That's so true. It can be such a solo feeling. You brought me back to a yoga studio that I would come in, I was like 20 years old and I would feel so shy and just sit on my mat and try to pick a spot that was, close to a window. I always like being close to a window. And then walk away from it without people even like exchanging like an eye contact, and I think that the social aspect of an activity can be so healing, can be supportive of the healing journey, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Is there anything else you'd like to share about your practice? What's inspiring you? An invitation for them? Anything at all?
See. I think just that, until then, I hope to keep learning more and get really creative for a full week of a variety of practices. And yeah, that I think it'll be beautiful. I don't know, when I think about it, I'm trying to visualize it and see us in that space. Whenever there is a little bit of anxiety about it, because I am going into a transition moment, and so adding a trip in the middle does feel a little bit like I'll be like uprooting after maybe had just been rooting. But when those moments happen, I try to imagine, like I have been to Panama before, not to that area, and I try to remember the sounds of the birds and how much green it was around me, and the warm ocean. And those things, I think, are really helpful for me to kind of like recenter and be like, no, let's do this.
Yes, let's do this.
Yeah. So maybe it can be something helpful too for those that are on the fence, maybe, about the retreat. Or yeah, because we all deserve it. We all deserve a little bit of space and quiet and easy.
Yes, I took a deep breath when you were talking about the birds and the green. Oh, well, thank you for taking your time today to just share a little bit more about what's happening and your excitement and intention. And I know I'm looking forward to seeing you in real life in May in Panama, and I imagine others are now too.
Thank you so much for listening. I have really special news to share. I've planned a deeply nourishing and luxurious retreat for us in Panama in May of next year. It's called Soulful, a somatic embodiment retreat for healing and wellness providers. If you're here listening, it's for you. I created this retreat out of my own burnout, wanting everyone to get the opportunity to return to their own deepest heart with nervous system regulation work, surfing, gentle yoga, and so much more. Come realign with your soul's compass. Expand your capacity to meet life with more ease and sink into really sweet support. Spots are already filling up. Find the link in the show notes or at shelby-lee.com.